I am here with Jolene Almendarez, who is the managing editor of the Ithaca Voice. Welcome to WRFI.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I found out recently that not everybody in Ithaca knows about the Ithaca Voice, so maybe we can start by, just in case any of our listeners haven't heard of the Voice, what it is and what it does and how long it's been doing it and all that stuff.
Sure. So the Ithaca Voice is a nonprofit news organization. We were started almost about 2.5 years ago by Jeff Stein. He got a grant from the Park Foundation to get this thing kicked off. And then from there, as Jeff usually says, he spent the first couple of months just bleeding money as he tried to write as many stories as he could. And he hired on Mike Blaney, who is now our executive director. And Mike Blaney is the one who ended up selling a lot of ads at the time, and then sponsorships as well. And then the sponsorships eventually became our main source of income. And that's how we got kicked off here in Ithaca. Mm-hmm. Jeff left last January. So when he did that, Mike went over, was promoted to be the executive director, and I became the managing editor. So that's the Ithaca Voice in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. We do hyper-local news. We cover Ithaca pretty ferociously, and we also stretch out to Tompkins County and do our best to cover spot news and features in those other areas as well.
Right. And it's at IthacaVoice.com, in case anybody is not aware of that. And,
yes, thank you.
You're an entirely online news organization, right?
Yes. Well, we're entirely online, but we are also affiliated with Tompkins Weekly. I believe ESPN Ithaca purchased them sometime in the past year or so. And when that happened, we signed over a contract with them to sort of have a news share. And so they republished some of our stories. So if you've seen it in print, you have seen it in Tompkins Weekly.
And how many people are now working over at The Voice?
Oh, man. I think we have 5 full-time. So it's me, Mike Blaney, our executive director. We have Jennifer Holy Lehman, who has this sort of in-between role where she does advertising and writing for us. She does sponsored content for restaurants in town. You've probably read her work in the dining section. And we have Kelsey O'Connor, who is also full-time. Part-time, we have Olivia Covert, who does crime and courts reporting and general assignments reporting twice a week. And we also have a part-time sponsorship salesman. Well, we also have a full-time videographer, Benjamin Torrey, who is essential to our staff.
So that's like more than twice as many employees as the Ithaca Journal has, apparently, at least in Ithaca. That's one of the things that sort of led me to bring you in is that, you know, there's a change in how media is being done, not only in Ithaca, but around the country and the world. You know, I thought you guys are a part of that. Maybe we could talk a little bit about, you know, how, you know, what the shift is here in Ithaca, what's been happening.
So I've been here 18 months, and in that time, I've definitely seen a change. So the Ithaca Voice was started as a response to this ongoing crisis in journalism. As the internet sort of blossomed, it seemed like news organizations weren't really sure what to do, so they do what news organizations generally do, which is stay on the same path because this is what we do and this is how we've always done it. And it didn't really change the way it needed to. And of course, then you have news organizations who aren't making money, not enough to pay people their salaries. And so massive layoffs over a period of years. And then it's almost like there was this switch where somebody somewhere decided, hey, I know how we can compete. I know how we can be profitable. And that is to do this sensationalist journalism that maybe isn't, it's probably a bit too much to call it yellow journalism, but here's a good example. When I was back home for the holidays, one of the leading stories that was on a news site, local news site, supposed to be about local news, was Mariah Carey and how she had photoshopped an Instagram photo of herself carrying 2 pies, right? On the flip side, on the other side of that, is you could go to that same news site and get some really, really good journalism. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem here is that it really damages your credibility and the amount of trust that people have in you when you start mm-hmm. publishing these sort of quick grab-em stories.
Yeah, and yeah, that's kind of I've seen that a lot in online journalism. I mean, some of the organizations, well, you know, some of them have gone so far in that direction that they're kind of no longer useful in any kind of journalistic way. And on the print side, I think what seems to be happening, you know, because of the cutbacks, I mean, they're losing money, so they cut back. First thing to cut, of course, is staff and, you know, journalists. And, you know, photographers and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, the Ithaca Journal is, I mean, it's very small anymore. And oftentimes, particularly on Mondays, there's really no local reporting because, you know, the two reporters were off for the weekend or whatever. And so then you have, you know, the stories from the Binghamton paper and the Elmira paper and what have you, and the USA Today stuff. But you don't have really, there's very little there for Ithaca. Nobody else really, probably, except for The Voice, is producing, like, on a daily basis, news about what's going on in Ithaca that's, you know, as a primary focus.
I want to definitely say that we didn't always start out doing weekend news. Obviously, when it was just Jeff, he couldn't work 7 days a week, right? Mm-hmm. And so for a while there, we were just sort of picking up certain events, like maybe something big would be happening on a Saturday or on a Sunday, and we'd pick them up. So now we have a schedule at The Voice where basically one weekend a month, somebody is doing some kind of something on the weekend, whether it's a photo gallery mm-hmm. or whether it's just making sure that we get up a community announcement to let people know about mm-hmm. something happening in the area, that somebody is on call. And then plus, coincidentally, if you're wondering how I always get to the scene of a big breaking news story quickly, I live right by the fire station in Bangs Ambulance. So I hear it. And so that's sort of my mental alarm, like, oh man, that's at least three fire trucks. Let me switch the scanner on. So there's always somebody doing something on the weekend. Yeah. And I agree. I feel bad for the reporters who are stuck in a position where they are the only ones producing news and they need to take a day off and there's nobody covering their back. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess when I first came to the Ithaca Voice, we used to always joke like, oh, you know, someday we're going to put the journal out of business or something like that. But we didn't really mean it. We didn't mean it at all because competition is good. And when you have people keeping you on your toes as a journalist, other reporters, I mean, nothing is as exhilarating as beating your competition to a big story or really mm-hmm. getting the scoop. And it is part of a good driver. And, you know, obviously the Ithaca Journal is here. You know, they're still thriving. They're still going. But they're not what they used to be. They're definitely not what they were mm-hmm. when I started. They've right. lost a lot of staff. And mm-hmm. frankly, that's the community's loss. I loved having those really good reporters there to hold me to a standard.
Right, yeah. And you have one of them, Kelsey O'Connor, you have now. And
yes.
I think the other is now over at the Times.
Yeah, Nick Reynolds.
Nick Reynolds
yes.
is now over at the Times. So,
actually, I want to do news. I want to do real news that matters mm-hmm. to real people in this community right in front of me and who are willing to really sacrifice sleep and days off and money and mm-hmm. a little bit of longevity and security that you get with big news organizations. Mm-hmm. And frankly, kudos to a lot of the journalists in the community who've been making those kinds of sacrifices because news matters. And I mm-hmm. think that's putting really, literally putting your money where your mouth is.
Right. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the issues with internet journalism, because one of the things I noticed, I find that it's sort of difficult to read like a long article online and actually read it carefully, you know, one that's, you know, a complex story. You know, and I know it takes a long time, you know, it takes a long time to produce a long form story. And I'm just wondering, like, are you putting long form stories on The Voice and you know, how often and you know, are you trying to do more of them or less of them? Or
that's a critique that online journalism gets a lot, that you are missing these meaty, beefy stories that are in-depth, that are whatever, 3,000 words long, that tell an amazing story. And that's something print journalism has traditionally done. And my response to that is, we're not reporting the information. We're just reporting it in a different way. So, for instance, a story that may have been 2,000 words, which is very long, 2,000 words in a news article that's going to print, I might split up into being three different stories. A very good example of this is recently, obviously, we had the incredibly tragic news of the Ithaca homicide. William Schumacher was murdered outside of the Walmart here in Ithaca. You know, after we published some of the initial stories, there were still, people still had a lot of questions, and we still had a lot of questions. And instead of writing a big, huge story where we recap all of the events and retell everything and then add in these separate interviews, I wrote a story, I think it was something like 7 questions answered about the Ithaca homicide. Right. Mm-hmm. And I took each one of those bits and I broke it up into little sections that answered the questions clearly, that answered the questions concisely. And I linked in there all of our related stories. If you just weren't familiar with it at all, like whatever, you were out of town, you missed it. I made sure that really prominently displayed, you were able to go back and catch up on some of the other details. Mm-hmm. So it's not a matter of not reporting big stories. It's just how you report it. My story, 7 questions answered, that's not necessarily less helpful or less meaningful than 2,000 word story and recap of the entire incident happens. Right.
Yeah. Well, where do you see things going with The Voice and, you know, journalism here in Ithaca? I mean, do you have any desires for new projects or things that you've been thinking about that you might want to consider?
All the time. I think we at the Ithaca Voice have even talked our 20-year plan, right? Which is incredibly ambitious because we're not even 3 years old yet. But we continue to grow. I'm looking at maybe getting a radio spot in town set up or a podcast set up, because it's really easy when you're driving to work in the morning and so many people come into Ithaca from out of town to just be able to say, okay, I'm going to listen to the Ithaca Voice podcast and catch up on my news from the week. Or I'd love to provide people with that kind of service. So we're looking at launching into there, and we've sort of made some contacts, and hopefully we'll be having sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. We're definitely working on some new ideas and just ways to keep growing and also to keep the funding going. You know, just reaching out to the community and interacting with them and getting funded to provide the best news possible.
Well, I thank you for coming in. I mean, we have pretty much run out of time. I thank you for coming in and talking with us. And I hope we can do this more.
Of course. This was really fun. Thank you for having me.